Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back at the wall, it's gone!
Jeff Passan
joining us.
Jeff Passan is a buzzkill.
It's very passionate, as you can hear.
He dropped the bombshell.
MLB columnist for Yahoo Sports.
If they're spending more than $1.5 billion on something they don't understand well enough to do it and keep guys healthy, something is very wrong there.
New York Times best-selling author.
That was the thread that I pulled, and what ended up happening 350 pages later was this book.
Jeff Passan. Neil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
Jeff Passan normally will join us Wednesdays at 3. We're tracking him down right now. Award-winning writer for Yahoo Sports. The segment brought to you by Indeed. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post the job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire. Big baseball news just broke. My guy Steve Gelbs, the field reporter for the New York Mets broadcast, reporting that the Mets have DFA'd Matt Harvey. So the Dark Knight, at one point that 2015 season when he was just striking out Cubs left and right, and we thought the Mets were going to be a...
He had company doing that, too.
Yeah, DeGrom and Syndergaard, you thought that that team was going to be a dynasty with its starting
pitching. Sure looked like it, didn't it?
Syndergaard is still just one of the most imposing, like his stuff.
I love Thor.
Yeah. On the mound, it's like, I don't know how anybody hits what he throws. And then obviously injuries came in and Harvey's got some issues with nightlife and between the years and work ethic and all that stuff. But man, didn't try him in the bullpen. Didn't send him to the minors. Just the outright release for Matt Harvey. I haven't followed it that closely.
Somebody's going to scoop him up, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would think someone will try to get the arm talent and do something like that. But I know a lot of people in New York have been saying that not to put up with the antics anymore and that he wasn't worth it and to just cut bait because it was more of a distraction than it was worth because the Mets have been one of the big surprises early in baseball this year. And that division is a little bit more winnable than a lot of people thought. Even though the Braves look great, the Nationals have struggled, and the Mets just outright DFAing Matt Harvey. Is that why Passan's not answering the phone, Shep?
That'd be my guess, because he sent me the thumbs up no more than 2 hours ago, about 3 o'clock, and when that happened, I would assume that that's what he's working on.
Okay. Well, I mean...
We'll press on in the meantime.
Yeah.
We'll be okay.
We'll be fine.
We'll keep the plane in the air.
Yeah, but just...
It doesn't have a horse on it, but we'll keep the plane in the air.
We'll somehow figure out a way to... But you let him know. I mean, listen, he didn't break the story. It's already out there. We can wait for his 140
I think he's
characters.
Just looking for an out. Is all he's doing.
To get out of talking to me.
Yeah. I don't blame him.
I can see that. I could.
Matt Harvey, DFA'd. I have an excuse to ignore Parco this week.
Yeah, he's a jerk.
Justin in Connecticut. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Good. What's going on?
Great to have you back.
Thank you.
Especially with the Mets. When it comes to Matt Harvey,
yes.
Do you think he'll last longer in the bullpen than you did in your retirement from WFAN?
That's a good question. I don't think he would last less, to be honest with you. I don't think he will be there. I was gone 4.5 months. I don't think he will be in the bullpen 4.5 months.
Is it true?
And to you, moron. Jason in Brooklyn.
Wow.
What's up, Jason?
Take a punch, Francesa. My goodness.
He's the best.
He's so fragile.
But they love him for it. Like he's the
I don't
only,
care what they do.
He's the only person who could get away with it. That's him.
You moron.
You give good Francesa, by the way. That's real close.
I mean, everyone's got a Francesa impression if you listen to the guy. It's just he's the best.
Go ahead, John. What's up?
Isn't that amazing? Welcome back.
That's I don't need the absolutely feeble John Sterling imitation from Mike and Mayapak. That I can live. That I can completely completely live without. Okay, that I can't, Mike. I really can't.
Oh, okay.
Remember, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, at Mike's On, you can get all the information about the app. We'll be back after this.
Oh, I have so much passion for this app and the Facebook and the Instagram. And
does he have a speech impediment? That's coming from me, who hasn't been able to speak in 7 weeks. Does he have a speech impediment thing going on? Open your mouth when you speak, Mike.
Why would he start now? Makes $5 million by not doing so.
The Twitter, I have a tremendous passion for this app, and I just missed.
I don't know what the hell an app is.
I just missed the audience so much. Let's go to Mike in Montclair.
You moron.
Mike in Montclair. Hey, Mike, what do you think? You think it's going to last longer than the Bulls? Oh, you idiot. I don't want to talk to you. I didn't miss you that much.
He's the best, man. One of a kind. Screw Jeff Passan.
There is no guy in the business of sports media who I would want to hang out with less than Mike Francesa. And that's a high bar.
Jason Whitlock. I would not want to hang out with Jason Whitlock.
I have hung out with Jason Whitlock.
We did
a show together. That's not really. Is that hanging out? And it was fine.
Yeah, not a fan of his work.
I'm not an over-the-top fan either,
yeah.
But he's a fine guy to sit with and have a beverage. No?
Not a huge fan. He's very fake, and I don't think believes a word that he says.
That's a problem.
Yeah. And he's He napalms people without – he throws stones and living in the glass house. And so I got less respect for the distance that I could throw him, and I couldn't throw
okay.
him very far.
No, you probably couldn't. I saw you try to lift a bucket of water today.
All right. Listen, by the way, that bucket of water, and people could see it on the Scores Twitter page or Facebook or wherever when I dumped the Yomer Sanchez-style bucket on my head. Lifting a bucket of water, it's heavy, Mac. I don't exercise.
When I saw my partner in the hallway by the elevators with his crew going down for the big video shoot.
Yeah, it was big.
I said, I looked in the bucket and I said, you're going to need more water than that. And he said, I know, but I have to carry it. And I'm looking at his ropey arms. And what do you weigh, about 150 pounds?
Yeah, 160.
Yeah, well, you grab one side now, grab
soaking
the
wet,
other.
Which he was.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, Cody and I carried it downstairs. It's not that I couldn't lift it. It's that you need to be able to lift it up over your head.
That's the concern.
That was the concern. Now, carrying it.
How many gallons of water did you get over your head?
Oh, I didn't measure.
What do you think, 5 gallons of water, maybe?
Maybe. Probably a little less, I'll be honest.
Strong like bull.
Yeah.
Your tries are going to be sore tomorrow morning.
Very sore. Very sore.
Those are the muscles on the back of the arm.
Right. They do good when you get push-ups, right?
Yes.
Something like that. Yes. Yeah. I used to be able to do 30-something push-ups. It was a real peak for me.
When's the last time you actually went down and did a push-up?
Oof. It's been a couple years.
I did my semi-annual sit-ups the Friday I got my gel shots.
Semi-annual. Sit-ups are a lot of stress on the back.
Yeah.
I think better ways to work the ab muscles. I've heard. I've read about this exercise. Planking is a good way, right?
Crunch.
Yeah, don't go all the way up with the sit-up.
Right.
I would love to get in shape, but it's just so much.
I've outgrown that desire.
It's so much work.
Yes, it is work.
It should be easier. Those the commercials, the infomercials, Bowflex, 6 minute abs.
Yeah, right. You believe those?
They're down to 6 minute abs now.
Yeah, yes.
8 minute abs used to be the thing.
Yeah,
used to be the go to for me when I was trying to impress people in high school.
No, not six, seven. From There's Something About Mary. It's a tough thing, man.
Fantastic buns in 6 weeks, 8 minutes a day.
Buns of Steel.
That's right. Buns of Steel was the campaign.
He must work out. It's a lot of work that I've never been really willing to put in. I've tried many times. It's been my New Year's resolution since 2010, 2011.
What you have going for you is you don't have a weight issue. You're very ectomorphic.
Okay, Bernsey.
It's a body type. There are three body types. There's the ectomorph, usually tall, but always very slender.
Yeah.
Thin.
I carry my fat in my second chin and my arteries.
And then there's the endomorph, which is just blobbish.
Mm.
And then there's the most desirable body type, the mesomorph. Muscular, tone, fit.
Which one are you?
Strong like bull.
So are you?
I'm a tweener.
Yeah, you're somewhere between the mesomorph and the blob.
There was a time when I had the M, but not anymore.
Yeah. People say, oh, 5 gallons, 40 pounds, that's pretty bad. I got it up there. My concern with the video was looking bad on the lift.
People pay to get wet.
I love it. Draft day living well after the draft. People do pay to get wet.
It's always draft day on this show, Mac. We could do a draft whenever you want. Jeff Passan, big times us. I'll do a draft right now.
You mentioned Jason Whitlock writing and or saying things he doesn't really believe. That's funny that you would bring that up.
He doesn't write anymore.
I started reading a column today from The Ringer just because the headline grabbed me. It was about Ichiro Suzuki.
Yeah.
And in the lead to the column, the writer suggests that she doesn't believe a word she's writing. I write this even though I don't believe it. I immediately stopped reading the story. There's nothing if you don't really believe it. And I don't know where she was going with it, but I didn't want to continue. The thesis was Ichiro Suzuki might be sport's last universally loved athlete. So I was curious what that was based upon, and
Well, season's over, right? That was the news.
He's taking a job with management. Yeah,
yeah, he's going to take.
But he's not technically retiring.
Right, because he might come back next year or do Japan-only league or something like that. But, I mean,
if you're one of the greats in any game and you win championships, it's impossible for you to be universally beloved.
Yeah, he didn't win a championship, obviously.
I know he didn't, but I think people admire Ichiro Suzuki. I think they respect him enormously. If they're not, they weren't paying attention. But loved?
I think baseball people love him because of the work ethic and his singular mindset of loving baseball, and that he was arguably a Hall of Famer before he came over, and then he built a Hall of Fame career here.
Right.
Did you read the Wright Thompson profile that came out on Ichiro two months ago?
No. Well, I
think Wright Thompson...
Guy's a freak.
Yeah. Wright Thompson's arguably the best sports writer alive, and he is... Whenever he profiles something, it's great. And he was with him in Japan, and he talked about his workout regimen and how the schedule is the same every day, and how he's he's OCD with his training regimen for baseball. Goes across the lobby at the same time every day. He rents out an entire stadium to work out, not just a field somewhere. The same people are with him, same restaurant, same friends. Same, everything is the exact same at all times, and it's just this singular focus about baseball and how his dad kind of was bordered on abuse as a kid,
right,
like coaching him up into it, and the Japanese work ethic, and how he was engineered to be a baseball player. And it's kind of sad that he doesn't have much outside of baseball. Like, his wife is concerned about depression or what he will do when he gives up the game, and that's why he will not officially retire.
Does he suffer from depression now?
She says that he will wake up in the middle of the night and he'll cry about, like, his inability, like if he had a bad day at the plate, and how he's just so focused on that next hit and that next contract, and how he doesn't want to quit, that he'll never officially quit or retire from baseball.
Freud was right. It all goes back to childhood. And his father obviously bruised him for life, it sounds like.
Yeah, and that search for approval through baseball and all sorts of stuff like that. So I think baseball people marvel at him because of the work ethic. And the anecdotes from the teammates were amazing. There was a clubhouse attendant who had, like, when they hung up the jersey in his locker, he pulled out the chair to get there to hang up the jersey, and the chair hit the bat, and the bat, like, slid down the wall, like, a couple degrees, like, from you know, 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock.
That was a problem.
And he wasn't angry about it. He was just really concerned that someone had messed with his bats. And he's like, who touched my bats? And he went around looking to see if anyone had touched his bat, because he knew that his bat had slipped.
Jobu.
Yeah, exactly. Bats very afraid. And so it's just... I think that's what it is. It's like, who has a bad thing to say about Ichiro? Because he wasn't polarizing. He didn't make headlines in the press.
No,
he,
there was no scandal. There was nothing but a legacy of success, both offensively and defensively.
Right, but mostly individual success. So there was no way for him to really hate your team. And he wasn't on a team that was hateable. It's not like he was great for the Yankees, and so if you were a Red Sox fan, you hated him, and he beat teams in the ALCS and the World Series. So, like, Ichiro just existed on this, like, island of solitude of greatness. So I did not read the column. I did not see the column. But I would imagine you'd have a hard time finding a single person in baseball that has a bad word to say about Ichiro Suzuki.
I've not heard one.
Is it just me, or do baseball players tend to age well, at least the way they're received, more than maybe most other sports, in that if you're a 36-year-old, 37-year-old player in Major League Baseball, like, there's just a natural appreciation that comes. Like, Adrian Beltre looked at now versus how Adrian Beltre was looked at 10 years ago. It's like everyone loves Adrian Beltre. Oh, he's hilarious. You can't touch his head. Oh, he's a great hitter. He's a great fielder. I love Adrian Beltre. Yet when he was on the Dodgers, when he signed the huge contract with Seattle back in 2004 or 2005, it was, oh, yep, he had the big contract year. And it just seems like if you have the longevity in Major League Baseball versus any other sport, that it's like, okay, he's been here 14 years, 15 years, automatically loved, except for rare cases of like A-Rod or a lot
Jim
of the
Edmonds.
Steroid guy. Yeah, well, a bag forever, but yes.
He was your bag for a year.
Yeah, he was.
Year or
two home runs against the Sox in one inning. Huh, how you like them apples?
Way to hold on to the one memory.
That hurts.
That cut deep.
Got you good.
You guys just won a World Series 18 months ago, and you want to chirp, chirp right now about
that's my
that?
One memory of, like, Edmonds had a great run as a Cub for 1 year, but that's my one memory is on a Saturday afternoon he had two homers against the Sox in one inning.
That's a remarkable memory. Accomplishment.
I wish I had Shep's memory.
I wish I had a T-shirt to give Shep with a photo of that on it. That's great.
Well, there are other T-shirts from baseball last night that I know you have thoughts on. We got Pick a Player at 340. Brent Musburger at 4 on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Yomer with his self-showers. Oh, as the my. Sox get the win on a walk-off. So everybody at home right now, take the drink that you have in your hand,
yes,
and just dump it on your head. That's how you do
perfect.
It.
I supposed to hit that homer, no hands, so I just throw the one.
Oh, that's Yomer Sanchez pregame today saying he dumped the water on himself because he was the one who was supposed to hit the home run. I'm telling you, he's changing the game for celebrations.
He likes to have fun, and how can you not have fun when you're a White Sox fan these days? They are really cooking after last night's win.
Yeah, one win. But hey, it was a good celebration. Jeff Passan from Yahoo Sports. Sorry to wake you from your nap, Passan. What are you, five?
Listen, does every adult not wish he or she could take an afternoon nap on a weekday?
Yeah, we want to grow up and be you. Grow down and be you, whatever.
Listen, Parkins, isn't that the reason people listen to this show?
Yeah. In some ways, I mean, listen, I always say if we had the wake and bake stoner crowd that would come in and out of naps and everybody
now,
would, like,
Parkins,
that was listening.
That was me saying that you put people to sleep. That just went right over your head.
All right. You're very funny. Oh,
I got it, Jeff. I followed him.
My
Thank
bad.
You. I appreciate that.
My bad. How are you, Jeff?
I'm great, man. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. We were actually talking about Ichiro and the idea of him being universally beloved. There was a piece about on that at The Ringer. There's a lot of great stories out there about him. I personally like that he has made the single largest donation of any player in baseball history to the Negro Leagues Museum in Kansas City, even though obviously he is not African American. There are so many great Ichiro stories. Would you care to share a couple of your favorites?
First off, Ichiro is not universally beloved. He actually was a terrible teammate early on in his career, and the guys in the Mariners clubhouse did not like him because they felt that he was too individually focused. And there's something to be said for that. Like, there's truth behind that, because he was a laser-focused guy on individual accomplishments. I think as time went on, he became a much better teammate. And the truth is, he is as funny a guy as there is out there. And it's really, you know, it's really unfortunate, I think, that Americans haven't gotten to learn about just how funny Ichiro is. You know, you see like bits and pieces of it here and there. Like I think there was a time where he said he was talking about not wanting to go back to Cleveland. And if he ever wanted to go back to Cleveland, he would have to punch himself in the face. because that means he would want to go back to Cleveland. And there was a story about how a third baseman early on in his career, Ichiro slides into third base, and the third baseman wasn't sure if he spoke English or not. And the third baseman says to him, "Hi," and Ichiro looks at him and says, "What's up, my bitch?" And my favorite, and I'll tell you what, like I've been doing this job for and my first story I think that I've ever is about Ichiro and
passing.
The All-Star game. Are you guys familiar with that story?
Passing. You nap at 3 o'clock, and then you give us a bad phone. Shep, fix that, please. Let's get an update.
I tell you, I'm having trouble hearing you.
No Paterno. There was some problem with the phone. First he naps, then we can't hear him. What was the third story you were going to tell us, Passon? It better be good.
Do you know the Ichiro Suzuki All-Star Game story?
I don't think so.
Which All-Star Game?
All of them. And that's the wonderful thing about it. So Ichiro was an all-star from the jump, you know, became one of the most popular players in baseball, ended up winning Rookie of the Year and MVP his first year. And what would happen is American League all-stars, particularly the first-timers, would never be told about the pregame speeches that would be given. And somebody would get up there. Depending on the year, whoever it was, a veteran would get up there and say, "Hey, boys, you know, this game, we want to beat the National League. We're going to, you know, we're going to try hard. We're going to put on a good show for the fans." And then out of nowhere, Ichiro would run in and start screaming obscenities, "F the National League, those MFers." And he would just go off for like a good minute, just screaming all these curse words about how much he despised and hated the National League, and it just destroyed the room every year that he did it. And it became a tradition that especially like the All-Stars who were multi-time All-Stars looked forward to every year, Ichiro just MFing the National League up and down.
Good stuff.
I like him even better.
Me too.
he's the best, man. He's the best. And I really enjoyed the conversations that I got to have with him, even though they were, you know, even though he spoke obviously perfectly fluent in great English, he still preferred to do his interviews in Japanese because he was so meticulous with what he said. He didn't want to trip up even one tiny iota and say something wrong. And that was, you know, that's the image that he cultivated, and it was part of who he was.
Sounds to a degree, Jeff, like he was a tortured soul.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing about Ichiro. He's been doing this since he was really a little kid. His father wanted him to be a baseball player, and so he was drilled with the Japanese ethos of, if you're going to be a baseball player, you must be perfect. And in order to reach perfection, you need to do this 360 days a year. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. Baseball teams in Japan, all the way up from youth through high school, play 360 days a year. They practice for hours at a time. They make hundreds, if not thousands, of throws a day, all trying to reach that ideal state of perfection. And I cannot imagine the number of throws and swings that Ichiro Suzuki had to groove his swing the way he did and to make his arm as potent as it was. And that's something that I think people don't quite understand about Ichiro, especially these days. God, he was good defensively. And his arm was absolutely marvelous. There was a throw he made to get, who was it? It was a fast guy who was going to third base. I think maybe
Paul Konerko?
I don't remember who it was, but there's video of it on the internet. If you Google Ichiro throw to third, you'll see it, and it was as good of a throw to third base as I mean Vlad Guerrero, Bo Jackson-esque.
So I assume, as we're talking to Jeff Passon of Yahoo Sports, he had basically a Matt Harvey-esque Terrence Long. Is that who you're saying?
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
Terrence Long. So it stepped on the joke a little bit. My bad. But the Matt Harvey work ethic, not the same as Ichiro. Is that what you're saying? Big fall from grace here for Matt Harvey?
Boy, oh boy. It's amazing that even a couple years ago, I wrote the first story, I think, and it was 2.5 or 3 years ago now, looking forward to the class of 2018-19 in the offseason. And it was going to be Bryce Harper, and it was going to be Manny Machado, and it was going to be Clayton Kershaw, and it was going to be Matt Harvey and Jose Fernandez. And the fact that Matt Harvey is being let go by the New York Mets in the middle of his free agent season, a month into it, and that the interest out there among other teams probably isn't going to be all that high. It just amazes me. It really does. It is as
what happened.
He got hurt. I mean, that's all. He blew his elbow out, and then he had thoracic outlet, and he just hasn't been the same since. But the work ethic part is definitely an issue as well. And a lot of times with these guys coming back from injuries, they'll understand that if you've been hurt before, there needs to be a protocol in place to keep you healthy going forward. And if you do not follow that, then you're probably going to fail. And I think that's been a big part of it with Matt Harvey. He just, you know, to be a good big league pitcher these days, you usually have to work hard. There are exceptions. There's certainly exceptions to the rule. Guys who can just, you know, like fall out of bed and go on the radio. So, I mean, it's the same thing. You just got to have natural ability to do that. But
thank you, Jeff.
The truth is, Matt Harvey has not shown the level of dedication that is necessary to be commensurate with the type of pitcher he believes he is. He thinks he's the same guy he was 4 years ago. He is not.
Jeff, I don't know if it's fair to ask you a question about the White Sox pitching staff and some of the specifics of it. Probably hasn't been front and center in your world lately.
Fire away.
They're last in baseball in WHIP with a 1.51, I think. They're fifth from the bottom in earned run average. Batting average against, they're among the bottom feeders. Carson Fulmer is going to go tonight. He's been good the last two times out. But when he faced the Twins last, he got four guys out. That's one more than he got out when he pitched against the Athletics. What is Carson Fulmer ultimately going to be? Is he a starter?
The biggest question mark for me on the White Sox staff is Carson Fulmer and his future. I think he is a big league pitcher. I like the fact that he doesn't give up a lot of home or hasn't given up a lot of home runs. And I wish, like everybody else on the White Sox staff this year, he'd strike more guys out. The most disappointing part of this season for them, far and away, has been the young pitching. I know Ronaldo Lopez's ERA is good. If you look at the peripherals, it's not going to stay there, because he walks too many guys and he doesn't strike out enough guys. And in a sport that right now strikeouts are not just a they're not just good, they're imperative. The White Sox don't strike guys out, and that is going to be a really problematic thing going forward. It goes for Lucas Giolito, it goes for Ronaldo Lopez, it goes for Carson Fulmer. They need those put away pitches, and until they can get them, and until Giolito can take his four-seamer and work up in the zone and generate swings and misses, and until Lopez can use the off-speed stuff and strike guys out like he was last year, and until Fulmer can get the ball over the plate, none of these guys is going to be anything more than a number four starter. And that's, you know, that's upside. Like, that's the highest you can be when you don't strike guys out and you walk too many of them. And look, they're still young. That's the thing. They're still young. And this is the folly in a young team. If the pitching doesn't work out, it's going to be problematic. It's also a good thing, though, that they've got Michael Kopech in the wings. And it's also a good thing, if Alec Hansen's arm holds up, that he's going to be there as well. And Dane Dunning has did the same thing he's done last year. You know, he absolutely dominated the level he started at for three or four starts, and then he moved up, and, you know, he's taking some of his lumps, you know, sipping a little of the medicine, but he's going to be a big league pitcher too. And what you want when you have a young team that is rebuilding is, more than anything, is pitching depth, because you can only reasonably believe that 25 to 40% of the guys you bring to the big leagues are actually going to turn into decent starters. And I know that seems low, but Danny, you were in Kansas City, I believe, during the era when the Royals had Danny Duffy and three other guys. Mike Montgomery was one of them. And
Luke
Chris Dwyer. Yeah, Chris Dwyer. They had the four lefties down in the minor league.
Odorizzi.
Yeah, I mean, they were all, like, good pitching prospects. And Duffy's really the only one who's become a dude. And even he, I mean, the White Sox have teed off on him, and he's been pretty terrible this year.
Jeff Passan from Yahoo Sports. We'll talk to you next Wednesday. Go back to bed, buddy.
I will look forward to it, and I will dream of anything but you. Take care, guys.
I understand. I'll talk to you soon. That's Jeff Passan from Yahoo Sports. We need four people on the line right now. We're going to squeeze in a quick game of Pick a Player. 312-644-6767. Before Brent Musburger joins us at 4 o'clock, the Pick a Player contestants that you can go against: Don Cooper, Pat Hughes, Carl Edwards Jr., and Will Perdue. 312-644-6767. Let's get four people on the line and play some Pick a Player before Big Game Brent coming up at 4 on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is just Sporkle.
Pick a Player.
Going to Blake. I don't know, bro.
Juicy Fruit. That's from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
This is not my field of expertise.
What else is there?
Holy cow.
I can't even remember names now.
George Bush. George Bush.
Eddie Farmer.
Pick a Player.
I don't know. I don't know. Pop singers. Come on.
Email Yahoo, definitely, because I'm lame like that.
This is bad, but that's about it right now.
Pick a Player with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
Pick a Player is brought to you by Indeed. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire. We have Brent Musburger on the show at 4 o'clock. We play Pick a Players normally at 4 on Fridays. Brent's normally going to join us on Thursdays at 4, changing things around this week for the Derby and with the day game on Wednesday. It's a margin of victory game. The contestants are the players, and the player and the caller get the same category. Whichever caller beats the player by the widest margin of victory gets the prize. Tiebreakers go to whoever scores more points in their category. The players this week: Cubs broadcaster Pat Hughes, White Sox pitching coach Don Cooper, Cubs relief pitcher Carl Edwards Jr., and former Bull and current NBA analyst Will Perdue. We start with Tim in Arlington Heights. Pat Hughes, Don Cooper, Carl Edwards, or Will Perdue? Tim, pick a player.
Give me Don Cooper.
Let's go against Don Cooper. He's making himself into a pick-a-player legend around these parts. White Sox pitching coach Tim, Don Cooper, had 15 seconds to name as many U.S. states as he could. U.S. states. On your mark, get set, go.
Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Ohio, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Massachusetts, Maine, California, Oregon, Washington, Arizona, Utah, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin.
All right.
Wow, very
got
nice.
The buzzer. Where did you stop him, Shep?
I got 16 before the buzzer went off.
16 before the buzzer?
I counted 18.
Yeah, it's all about how you play the buzzer in that spot. We go to the executive producer.
I went to start a buzzer. I think you went to the end of buzzer.
Okay. The echo of the buzzer.
The echo of the buzzer.
All right,
Shep rules.
Start of buzzer. 16 spot. Very impressive score. Let's see if Don Cooper knows his states.
New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Florida, Tennessee, Georgia, Louisiana, Wyoming, California, Arizona, Washington, North Dakota, South Dakota, Ohio. Geez, where else am I at?
You're in Illinois, Don. You forgot Illinois. All right, so 15? All right,
that's what I counted. Too.
All right, so see?
Plus one.
That's only a plus one.
The killed him. He paused for a second and said, and that killed him.
Yeah, and Cooper forgot where he
no
is.
No time for a sputter.
How many do you think Sandberg would name?
Sandberg, it's at the over-under at 4.5 states. pretty comfortably there.
Wow. I mean, he's a methodical pick-a-player.
You can't be methodical in a 50.
I know.
All right.
Have you heard him play the game?
Yeah.
Jason in Bloomingdale, you're on pick-a-player. Pat Hughes, Carl Edwards, or Will Perdue?
I'll go Carl Edwards.
Carl Edwards Jr., Cubs relief pitcher, having a hell of a season. He had 15 seconds to name as many different types of liquor brands. Brands of liquor.
Oh, Jesus.
15 seconds on your mark. Get set. Go.
Jameson's, Stoli, Tito's, cheese, Jack Daniels.
You don't drink much, do you?
Jason, not much of a drinker, evidently. All right. Oh, four? Jesus. Yeah, four's bad.
Wow.
It's a bad effort.
Good for him. He's probably got a healthy liver.
Let's see if Carl Edwards drinks a little bit more.
Patron, Jim Beam, Bacardi, Tennessee Honey, Jack Daniel's, Fire, Cucumber F and Vodka, Grey Goose, regular Grey Goose, Le Marno, Grey Goose, Black Label, Blue Label.
No.
We got to go to the judge
here. He still wins, but subspecies do not count.
I don't think there's any rule against that as much as I hate it. It's like when you play the Anthony Rizzo at second base in fantasy baseball. I'm against it, but I think I have to let it go.
Well, you can't play one anyway.
You can. He's eligible this year, second base.
Oh, wow. That's ridiculous.
Because he's put on the second baseman's mitt handful of times.
Second baseman's glove, Shep.
Okay, sorry about that.
Sorry.
Yeah, hockey sweater.
You're right.
The
caller lost anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But also, we got a little glimpse into what he likes, right? Went right for the Patron. Then he goes cucumber vodka. That's a very specific.
Yes, he's big on the vodkas.
Yeah, very specific in that direction. So, all right, CJ Edwards, a win over Jason.
Let's go.
All right. Got Brent Musburger at four. John in Oakbrook, Will Perdue or Pat Hughes? Pick a player.
We'll go Will Perdue.
Will Perdue, former Bull, had 15 seconds to name as many members of the 1992 Dream Team. 1992 Dream Team roster, John. 15 seconds on your mark. Get set. Go.
Will Chamberlain, Magic Johnson, Jesus, and Stockton, Malone.
John Chamberlain just missed the cut for that team, unfortunately. Jordan took his spot. It was a big story that year.
Thanks, John. I had a liquor question.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're going against Will Perdue, though. Will Perdue's likely to cream you in that category anyway.
Let's hear Will Perdue with the Dream Team.
Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Christian Laettner, Patrick Ewing, Chris Mullin, Magic Johnson. Where else can I go with this?
I would have expected better from Purdue there.
No love for Clyde Drexler?
No love for Clyde Drexler. Larry Bird?
My guy!
Larry Bird doesn't get a mention. The Admiral, David Robinson, on the squad. All right, so plus one is the leader in the clubhouse. The only person who's got a shot at it is Dave in Oak Lawn. Dave, turn your radio down if you don't mind. You're going up against Cubs broadcaster Pat Hughes. Are you ready? Dave, are you ready?
Yeah. What am I going? What's the category?
I haven't told you yet.
Oh, okay. I just turned on my radio. Sorry about that.
All right, no problem. First time for everything. You're going up against Pat Hughes. Pat Hughes, right. Cubs broadcaster.
Yeah.
Had 15 seconds to name as many girl names that start with the letter M. M is in Matt, but female names. On your mark, get set, go.
Mandy, Margo, Megan, Molly, Missy, Mandolin, Minnie, Margo, give me,
No, he had two Margos, didn't he?
You know a lot of Margos?
He also had a mandolin. Did you say mandolin? Yeah, that's an instrument. That's not a woman's name.
I mean, I'll go to the judges there. I agree. It seems a little ridiculous.
No. I got to draw a line somewhere.
Is that where Mandy comes from? The origins of the name Mandy?
Mandolin Monroe. She was a sex icon.
I want some violins and some mandolins. Play with some nice candlelight.
You know what? Google search says that it's a fairly common name, so we'll give it to him.
Wow. All right, so that's a seven spot?
It's six because Margot twice, right?
Oh, Margot twice. Okay. Margot Robbie fan. Who isn't? Let's see if Pat Hughes knows a lot of women whose names start with M.
Mary, Maria, Magdalena, Mimi, Molly, Mia, second Mia, Marmaduke, Melanie, Melody, Melinda, Malaysia.
I just love hearing him doing a list. He could read a list of anything.
Straight to the top, man.
Yes.
That's how we're going to win. We just need Pat Hughes to read things. We'll talk to Brent Musburger next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.